Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Woo-hoo. So you either had no spring break plans or you all got sick and you had to cancel your spring break plans. Either way, I'm so glad that you're here with us today. If you don't know me, my name is Dustin. I'm the creative arts pastor here. Get to do a lot of fun stuff as my job. And I love it here, and I love being able to share with you in the few times a year when I get a chance to do that. Like we said earlier, Pastor Dave is on vacation with his family, much deserved vacation from him as he speaks 40 something weeks a year here with us. And so we've been in this series now for 12 weeks. This is week 13 of this really epic long series. And I just want to say a couple things about this series so far for me. And I know in our small group, as we wrapped up our time together a few weeks ago, everybody kind of had a different portion, a different part of this series that really meant a lot to them, that really changed their life, that said, you know what, in order for me to build that life that really matters at the end of it all, when everything is stripped away, this part of this series really struck home with us. For us and my family, I'll be transparent with you, it was the financial portion. We've done Financial Peace University before. We had gotten off track a little bit on some of that stuff, and so it was a nice refresher for that month during February for us to be able to realize that in order to build a life that matters for us and our family tree and for generations to come, that we need to be a little bit more serious about these things, and we need to have a little bit more of a solid plan, and so we have, and we've had so many blessings just in the first little part of recommitting ourselves to that plan, and I know that there's many stories like that here in this room today and in our church of people who have decided to take something that they've learned during this series and they go implement it during the week. And that's what we're after. At the end of the day, for us here at Friendship Church, we want you to be a doer of the word. Our producer, Dale Height, this morning shared with us in James 1:22. It's a verse that you'll hear a lot if you volunteer around here. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so we're not going to just sit here and listen to me ramble on for a little while and sing some songs and then go on without any type of change. But we're going to leave here today with an action plan, with a call to action. And we're going to leave here today changed. That's my prayer for you, and I hope you're praying that for me and for everyone else around you. There is one thing I want to ask everyone to do for me today. This is the only, might be two parts participation today, but the first part participation for today. We will tell you every single week that we provide the message notes on YouVersion, which if you don't know what YouVersion is a Bible app for your phone. It's awesome. I love it. I use it every day as much as I can. I use it every Sunday when we're sitting in here. So we put our message notes on YouVersion, and we even did that today. But what I'm going to ask you to do today, just for this one Sunday, I'm going to ask for you, if you have your cell phone in your hand, unless you're doing a job, unless you're volunteering on one of our social media teams, I'm going to ask you to put that phone away. Because today we're going to talk about being present, and I want you to be as most present for these next few minutes with me as possible. So if you could put your phone away, and if you say, well, then I don't have anything to follow along with, we have extra worship guides in a couple different areas. If you need one, just slip up your hand, and we will make sure that we get you that extra worship guide. Because today, we're going to focus on being present. If we want to be a church and if we want to be a person that is relationally satisfied, I believe that now more than ever in our world and in our society, the best way to do that is to be present. And it is a struggle. It is a struggle for me. It is a struggle for my wife. It's a struggle for us in our home to just be around each other and to not go, oh, well, the other person's not talking, so let me pull out my phone and see what everybody else is doing, you know, with their life today. And I love it. I love Instagram. I'm not a fan of Facebook. I'm sorry if you are. I just don't like it. Twitter's okay every now and then. It's getting a little weird, but I'm a visual person, so I need to, like, it's great that you're telling me that you're doing this, but I need to see what it is because I'm probably not going to read the caption anyway, so make your pictures good. So today, more than ever, we need that, and I think the flip side of that coin is that so many people would say that if they only had more time, they could do blank. They could get that promotion. They could be a better husband. They could be a better wife. They could be a better mom. They could be a better dad. They could afford this. They could do that. They could quit this. They could quit that. So how many, this is the second part participation today, by a show of hands, how many of you in this room today would say that you wish at some way, shape, or form, whether it be very minute or a lot, whether it be in only one area of your life or every area of your life, how many of you would say that you wish that you had more time? Just look around. Leave the hands up. Just look around. People that don't have their hands up, they're like under 20. And they have no idea what's coming. Age is a train that will run you over. Am I right? We all wish that we had more time. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 90, it says to teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I did a small group a few years ago, and I feel like it was either the whole small group or maybe just one portion of the small group. Either way, I walked away from the small group remembering nothing but this one verse. Teach me to number my days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom. What do you think that means? Teach us to number our days. Out of all the things we should do in life to get more wisdom, like maybe we should have bought that encyclopedia when that guy came to our door 20 years ago. Like, maybe we should spend more time on Wikipedia. No. He says we need to learn to number our days. And the reason he says that is because time is always going to be there. It is the constant. It is always working against us to fill our days with something that is less important than what we should be after. And so in Ephesians 5:15, the writer says this, says, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. There's that wisdom again. And this point I really want to point out here. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. I believe that in order to be present, in order to build a life that matters, in order to be relationally satisfied, which is what we're talking about during this last portion of this series, being relationally satisfied, which I know for a lot of us, me included, is just a mind blower. There's always going to be someone that I'm mad at. There's always going to be someone that I feel like owes me an apology. There's always going to be someone that I need to forgive. But in order to be relationally satisfied, make the most of your time and be present. The way that you gain the wisdom that you need to be relationally satisfied is right here. You need to make the most of your time. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, I think that we burden ourselves with this act of busyness, not business, but busyness, more than what's necessary. And it causes us to not be aware of what's happening in the life around us. You know, some of you have heard my story before about my battle with depression and should I take medicine, should I not take medicine, and all these different things, and I didn't know which way to turn to get help. And you know, looking back on it now, I don't remember, and I've shared this with you before, I don't remember the first year of one of our children's life, our little girl. I don't remember that year because I was so wrapped up in what I had going on that I wasn't aware of what was happening around me. And I believe this verse speaks to us today, that we are to make most of our time so that we can be aware of what's happening around us. And if you want to be relationally satisfied, and I hope that you do, or else I don't know why you're here. If you want to be relationally satisfied in your life and make the most of your time, the way that you can do that is to be present. And so we're going to talk about how to do that today. The big idea today, if you forget nothing else, I'm going to take Dave's phrase here. If you forget everything else that I say, but you remember this one thing, remember this one thing. The best version of yourself you can offer is one that is fully engaged. Fully engaged. That's the reason I asked you to put away your phone this morning. And next week, pull your phone back out if you're on YouVersion or if you're posting social media. But just for this day, I want you to focus on being fully engaged with what we're talking about. And so I'm going to share with you today four ways that I think that you can become fully engaged on your way to being relationally satisfied. The first thing is this: share your burdens. Share your burdens. And you've heard this said a lot in church, and it kind of even sounds a little churchy phrase, if I'm honest with you this morning. Share your burdens. What does that mean? How do we go about doing that? Well, just like everything else for us, we look to the Bible for answers. And so the Bible says this in Galatians 6:2. It says, bear one another's burdens. Yeah, we got that. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And it says, when you share each other's burdens, when you carry the weight of someone else's pain alongside of them and their stress alongside of them, that you are fulfilling the law of Christ. Not the law of the Old Testament, but the law of Christ and the new life that he brings and that is available to each and every one of us. So how do we do that? How do we practically? I'm going to try to give you as much practical things as I can today. So I encourage you to write down in the margin of your worship guide as much as possible. How can we actually carry and share the burdens and carry those burdens with someone else in our lives? There's two things I want to share with you in that today. First thing is just be there. And today's about being present, but just be there. And I'm one that does not care to go to a funeral home when someone passes, especially if it's someone that I don't know, but it's a friend of mine and it's someone that they know, or it's a family member that they know that has passed away. Because why? Why do we not like going to those? Because we never know what to what. We never know what to say. I'm going to tell you, you don't need to say anything. Dave shared this with us either last week or the week before last about this very same thing. You don't need to say anything. You just need to be there. And I remember a few years ago, someone in our church had a family member pass away. And Dave was like, you want to come? And I'm like, I kind of feel like I need to because I love this person and I want to be there for him. I just don't know what to say. And Dave reminded me, he's like, you don't need to say anything. Just when we get there, just be there. And I was like, okay. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I don't know who to, that I wear the right thing. Should I stand over here? Do I go visit the casket or do I stay back? Like, I don't know what to do. So I just went over there and I stood there and I waited for the person who had suffered the loss that I know. They came over to me eventually and just, they said, the first thing they said to me was, thank you for what? For being here. They didn't say thank you for saying the right thing, just thank you for being here. Because in that moment, I was sharing their burden. I cared. I cared about their loss. I cared about their pain. I cared about the stress and the burden that they were walking around with. And just a simple text message sometimes of sending to someone saying, just so you know, in case you ever need anything, I'm here. Just showing up and being at the places that you know are important to them, I'm here. The second thing is actively stay in touch, which is what I started to get into right there. Actively stay in touch. The phrase out of sight, out of mind is very true. And if you're on Facebook, no one is out of sight, so you have no excuse. Everyone is in perfect sight in front of you, maybe a little too much. Of what you got going on and what they've got going on, so you know what's happening. But actively stay in touch, and if you need to, and I've done this many times in my life, and I'm probably challenging myself right now to do it again this week, but write down yourself a top five list on a post-it note. If you don't know what that is, it's this little square piece of paper that has sticky on the back of it. I'm talking to the people who weren't worried about time. It's this little square piece of paper. It's got a little sticky stuff on the back of it, and so you can write stuff on it, and you can stick it anywhere to remind yourself of things, because when you get old, you forget things. And so what I'm going to do for myself this week, and I challenge you to do the same thing, is write down five people that you say, I need to actively stay in touch with these people more on a regular basis. I care about them. I love them. I don't know what I've been doing. I don't know what I've been wasting my time on. I don't know how come I haven't reached out to them enough. Maybe it's because I felt like they did me wrong. Maybe it's because I just out of sight, out of mind. Whatever. Just write down five names. You can even do it right now on your worship guide if you want to. But write down five names of people that you know that you need to stay in touch with. And then keep that in front of you. And then actually do something about it. You know, shoot them a text, an email, message them on Facebook if that's your thing. God help you. And then get together with them and just say, hey, I just want to be here for you. You might have everything going right now, but either way, I want you to know I'm here. Second thing you can do is care for their needs. Care for their needs. And I know when a lot of people hear this, they think money. And they think, well, I don't have the money. We're barely making it on our own. Well, I don't have the money to go hand someone a blank check and say, go, you know, get what you need. That's not what I'm saying. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and it's just like we're a church in Indiana that's a church in the town called Corinth. And so he wrote to them, and they're called the Corinthians. So the book that we're reading from is 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 12, he's basically telling them, he says, hey, look, this is how it works. This is how church works. Okay, so we're all one big body. So if you look at a body, if you look at like a stick figure, some people are hands, some people are arms, some people are legs and feet and torso. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is that we all work together in this body to function together. And he says, we all have different roles, okay? The foot doesn't have the same role as a hand and vice versa. We all have different roles, but within that, we all, without the other, we can't function. We can't work together. And so he picks it up here in verse 25, 1 Corinthians 12, 25, and he says, this, meaning what I just told you about, this makes for harmony among the members. So that all members, meaning members of the body, members of the community, members of the church, all bodies, all the members care for each other. And if one part suffers, then all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, then all the parts are glad. You see how that works? You ever smashed your big toe, like on the edge of a couch that you wish you didn't have anymore because of that one instance? Why do we have this couch? Stupid couch. But then on Sunday afternoons, you're so glad it's there because you're going to just kill a nap on it. You smash that toe, and that's all you can think about. Even in your head, way up here, your toe is way down there. All your head can think about is that toe that's hurting. You see, our body gets it. Our body understands this. Our body understands that when one part hurts, the other part is aware of it. You get it? So it's the same thing for us. The same thing for us as a body. The same thing for us as a church. Same thing for us as a family, as a community, is that when one part hurts, we hurt with it. And one part celebrates, we celebrate with it. And so I want to give you two things here. How do we actually care for each other's needs? Well, first thing is you must actually see the need in order to fulfill the need. You actually have to see it. And in order to see it, you have to be what? Present. You have to be looking. You have to be looking around and paying attention to those five people that we wrote down earlier that you're going to write down this week. You actually have to be looking for an opportunity to fill a need. They might not even know that you know about it. They might not even know that it's going to be a need, but you have the foresight enough to see it's coming, and you know ahead of them, hey, this is a rough season come ahead. I can see that for you, and so because of that, I want to do this. I want to babysit your kids one night so you guys can go out and have a night together. I want to mow your lawn so it's 30 more minutes that you can spend with your family instead of having to be outside. Those things don't cost anything. It won't cost anything but your time. So you have to be aware. And then you have to pay attention. Just look around you. There's all kinds of needs. If you watch 5 minutes of the late local news, you know there's lots of needs all around us all the time. If you just pay attention and see those needs and ask God, help me to find a way to meet those needs, to care for those needs. Doesn't have to be financial. Doesn't have to be with money. It can be with your time. It can be with your hands. It can be just by being present. Maybe their need is that they just need someone to visit. Maybe they just need someone to come sit in the room with them so that they're not alone anymore. Any one of us can do that. The third thing that you can do to be present, to be fully engaged, is to celebrate their wins. Celebrate their wins. And when I say their, I mean other people. Celebrate their wins. If you volunteer here at Friendship, you know that this is a big deal to us. When we see someone make a life change or take a next step on a Sunday morning, we celebrate that in our team throughout the week through an email or maybe next Sunday. Hey, in case you didn't hear, someone took this major next step and you had a hand in it because you held the door for them to come inside. And you watched their kids for them and you gave them a smile and a cup of coffee, and so you helped. And so we celebrate those wins because they mean something to all of us. In Romans 12, 15, it says, again, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other, which we've read in 1 Corinthians. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Some people just have some ordinary friends. That's all right. I do too. And don't think that you know it all. That again is the, to me, speaks volumes of just being there for someone, not having to think that you have the right words to say or that you have some brilliant life-changing verse that you've just found in the Bible that's perfect for their situation, and you just have to share it with them right then and there. No, maybe you don't know it all. Maybe you don't know the whole situation, and maybe actually by sharing some of the things and speaking up when you know that you shouldn't, you might actually be doing more harm than good. So maybe you just need to put an arm around them and say, I'm here. I don't know what to say. I hate it for you. I'm here. Or, dude, I'm speechless at this amazing thing that you have just accomplished in your life. I'm so glad that your family is debt-free. I'm so happy for this child that is born into your family. I'm happy for this promotion. And you just say, I'm happy for you, and you put your arm around them, and you be there with them. So a couple things we can do to celebrate their wins, and this comes straight from the verse here. Check jealousy at the door. Okay, the Bible says that no one can add any more time to their life by worrying. And jealousy is a type of worry. It's a type of anxiety because you're building yourself up so much worrying about something that you don't have that you think you deserve. How come they got that and I didn't? That's a type of worry. It's a type of anxiety, and it just builds and builds and builds. And the Bible says that you can't add any more time to your life by doing that, so don't. If something doesn't add value or time to your life, don't do it. It's simple as that. So check jealousy at the door. Second thing, remember important dates. Remember important dates. And I've been trying to keep a few stories here and there pretty vague as far as not telling you, but I'm going to brag on someone in our church right now who remembers important dates for me every year, and it means more to me than anything else. Every year for my birthday and or my wedding anniversary, I always get a physical handwritten card from the Killey family. If anybody knows the Killeys, Crystal and Anthony Killey, wonderful people, I always get a card from them. And let me tell you something, that card has no money in it, doesn't have a gift card in it, it doesn't have a voucher to come watch our kids, you know, so that we can have that date night, you know. It's like, it's just, I remembered that it was your birthday. Here's a card. And let me tell you something. This is just a rant for a minute. If the only way that you remember someone's birthday is because Facebook told you that it was their birthday, don't say happy birthday to them on Facebook. Just don't do that. That means so much less when you had to be reminded by a social platform that everyone else is on. It means so much less. I can't tell you how much more it means to me to get that card from the Killeys every year than it does the 50 Facebook alerts from people that I haven't seen in 10 years. I can't tell you how much more that means to me. And if you've ever experienced that, I know that it's true for you. I know that you feel that too. So remember important dates, however you need to. Don't let Facebook remember the important dates for you. Write it down somewhere, like with a pen and paper or those post-it notes that we were talking about earlier. Maybe it's the smartphone that I'm not letting you hold in your hand right now. Later on, when I let you put that back in your hand, then you can just add a little reminder in your phone that says, hey, 1 week, like Jamie Hampton, our children's ministry director. I can't remember the exact date, but her birthday is this week, right, Nick? Wednesday. Jamie's birthday is this Wednesday. There's one that Facebook didn't have to remind you of, and now you know. And everyone in this room benefits from having Jamie Hampton in their life. Jamie is a servant, and she cares about your kids and loves them the way that Jesus does. And sometime this week, preferably Wednesday, tell her happy birthday. Third thing is this. Send handwritten snail mail. So like the card that I got from Crystal. I'm going to share another story. So when we first moved here, we're from Virginia. We're not from around here. And we've been here for coming up on 10 years now. And when we first moved here, you know, you look for you look for your favorite coffee shop or who's got the best Chinese food. And one of the things you also look for is a mechanic that you can trust, unless you can do it yourself, in which case you're awesome and I'm not. But I look for a mechanic that I can trust, which, as we know, like used car salesmen, sometimes they're difficult to trust. How do you know if they're telling you the truth or not, right? So I take a chance on this little small place here in Whiteland on 31, and all I did was get my oil changed there. I'm like, I'm just going to get my oil changed there and see how it goes, and then if we have any other issues, I'll know whether or not if they're trustworthy or not. Well, within 3 days of me getting my oil changed there, I got a handwritten thank you card in the mail with the post office with a stamp on it from the owner of that little shop who has like 5 employees thanking me for my business. A $30 oil change in the grand scheme of things is not going to make or break his business, but he knew that it was the first time that I had ever been there, and he took the time to send me a handwritten thank you note. And let me tell you right now, if I have car trouble, that's where we take it. Still to this day, that was 10 years ago, I still take it there because it means something. Send handwritten snail mail. Fourth thing, make a big deal about it to others. This is where you can use Facebook. This is where I'm not going to get mad at you for using Facebook. Okay, so if someone has a huge win in their life and maybe they had a baby or a job promotion or whatever, or you want to congratulate them, do it the most public way that you can. If you can't afford to get the plane to write it in the clouds above their house, or to drive a banner by their house, or send a singing telegram to their front door, post it on Facebook and just say, man, I'm so happy for my friend fill in the blank because they fill in the blank. And just share it. Share it with everybody. Fourth thing you can do today in order to be fully engaged is listen when others speak. Listen when others speak. Now, when I was younger, I had a teacher tell me the difference between hearing something and listening. And it just blew my mind. Because as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, if I heard it, I heard it. I heard you. But what'd I say? I don't know. I just heard you gabbing on about something over there. I heard you. Well, then you weren't listening. Anyone might hear anything. Like, I heard that squeak from that shoe over there, but I don't really know whose shoe it was or why they did it or if they're after me. I don't know. There's a difference between hearing something and actually listening and paying attention to it. So let's listen when others speak. James 1:19 says this, "Understand this, dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen and what? Slow to speak and slow to get angry." Any full or partial redheads in the house? I'm one. Okay, we all know we have anger issues, right? Okay, let's just, even if you're sitting next to a partial redhead, you can be like, yeah, anger issues. This verse is for us. It's also for other people, but it's mostly for us. Slow to speak will allow you to slow that anger. Not wanting to, you got that perfect, redheads, we have the perfect comeback for everything. It's just like a 6-shooter off the hip. It's just bang. You wouldn't even see that coming. I got you. And we have the perfect comeback for everything. But if we would just slow that down a little bit, then it would slow our anger and we'd be slow to speak. Of course, I'm joking that not just redheads deal with anger. It's all you other weirdos too with other color hair. If you would just slow down your response and listen to what they're saying, don't start thinking about what you're going to say when someone else is talking. Anyone have a person like that in their life where you know when you're looking at them, they're not listening to a thing you're saying. Not a thing. All they're thinking about is what they're going to say next. Do you really want to be that person? Do you like that person? I don't like that person. You don't want to be that person. Don't be that person. When someone else is speaking, try your hardest. And you might struggle with like attention stuff. Everybody's got a little bit of that. Just think about what they're saying to you, like out of the hole in their mouth, like in their face, like what are the words, and try to put them together. They're giving it to you, right? But maybe you still need to put it together a different way so it makes sense in your head. But think about what they're saying and actually listen to what they're saying. So I'm going to give you 4 ways to listen. First thing is this: put down the phone. slash video game slash hobby that you spend too much time on slash computer. Put it down. It is not worth it. It will not add one more minute of your time. One more minute of time to your life. It will not do it. If it's for your job, great. Set parameters and talk to your family about what those parameters are. And I say family, not just your spouse. I mean talk to your kids about what your parameters are. This is when daddy has to be on his phone, but I can tell you right now, here, daddy will not have the phone in his hands. I understand we have jobs and we have to take care of what we have to take care of, and we have responsibilities, and you're called to uphold those responsibilities to the best of your ability. But there needs to be a time when you put down the video game controller and you put down the computer and you put your phone in the other room where you're not tempted to just grab it. And I'm speaking to me here. Like, I don't leave a room without my phone. It's like pants. Like, I don't leave a room without pants. Like, I don't leave my house without pants on. Like, I don't leave a room without my phone. Because of what if somebody needs me? And it's a constant worry. But we have created this chain, for lack of a better word, in our life, where we have to have it. And if you take small steps where you don't have to have it, I promise you that you will be more fully engaged in the lives of those around you. Second thing is this: turn off the TV. And man, I love TV. I love TV. I have cable. I'm a sinner. I do. I have cable. I love my cable. I won't get rid of it. Don't ask me to get rid of it. But they had come out with this great invention when I was in college. It was called a TiVo. Anybody remember what TiVo is? TiVo turned into the DVR, and the DVR is a digital video recording. It basically means you don't have to buy those VHS tapes and pop them in and be there to schedule the VCR. If you're under 20, ask someone near you who's over 20 to tell you what a VCR is. I don't have time for that right now. But you used to have to, like, put a tape in with, like, that's the whole thing. Anyway, a digital video recorder is the greatest gift to my family technology has ever given me. Ever. Better than Facebook. Ever. Because I can watch what I want to watch whenever I want to watch it. So you have zero excuse in today's world to not turn off the TV. And if you're like me and you're a sports guy, I don't like to watch sports digitally video recorded, like at a later date, because I'm like, my phone's gonna blow up and Twitter's gonna go off and one of my buddies is gonna text me and I'm like, did you see that? I'm gonna be like, no, I'm spending time with my family like a loser. totally missed it. I don't like to record sports, and I love sports. I love all kinds of sports. There's always a sport on probably that I want to watch and that I want to see. But ask yourself this, sports fans, and I'm not just talking to guys, and I'm not just talking other things that you may prefer not to record. Okay, maybe it's the soap opera or whatever that you like. That you're like, I gotta watch it when it happens because the blogs and the Twitter sphere is gonna blow up when this thing is over, and I got to be on the forefront of knowing what's happening, when it's happening, at the moment that it happens. Let me ask you this. Is that TV show or is that sporting event more important than your family? I mean, really. Like, you might be like, it might be a little bit. But really, even if you have money riding on it, which you shouldn't, shame on you, but is it really more important than your family? Only you can answer that for yourself, but I would challenge you that the answer should be no. Third thing is this: listen with your face. Listen with your face. It's not like you're talking, like if someone's talking to you that you're going, uh-huh, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. Hey, I got something better to tell you. That's not listening with your face. Listening with your face is I'm listening. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you. We are making eye contact, and I'm giving you my full attention. When someone does that to you, it is so much more respectful than the latter. So much more respectful to them than to not make eye contact with him. Or maybe it's just like, I don't know, they've got like a weird zit or a scar on their face, or they got like a lazy eye, and you're just kind of like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. All right. Still, like, just swallow whatever you got to do and look at him in the face, because it means something. You know it means something to you. Why don't you do it for other people? Last thing is this. Ask questions. Even if you already know the answer. And you're like, well, wouldn't that be kind of like a lie? Maybe. Just ask a question or two. It shows the other person that you care. It shows the other person that you weren't thinking about what you were going to say next, but you're actually thinking about the words that are coming out of the hole in their face, and you're hearing it with your face, and you care, and you're engaged in the conversation. So ask questions. And as we wrap up our time today, and I'm challenging you to be present, and there's a lot of things and there's a lot of discomfort, and we've laughed a lot today, and it's funny when you look back and you rip it all back and you look at it and you're like, that's ridiculous. Why am I like that? It's funny, but I'm challenging us all, me included, to take these action steps this week. To take the necessary steps to be present in your relationships, to be fully engaged, and to offer the best version of yourself. Let's pray. Father, we trust you more than we trust our instincts, and we trust that you know all situations and every relationship that's out there. Every friendship that we have, every coworker, every family member that we have, God, we trust. We trust that you know what you're doing. And God, we ask for the wisdom and the self-discipline that it takes to be present, to be fully engaged. We know it matters. You've told us that it matters in your word, and because we believe your word is truth, we believe what we heard today is truth. And God, I challenge us all. I pray that we would all leave here changed, ready to do something different because of you and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.